So when I just think back just to last year, this time, I was living in my mother-in-law's home. I didn't even have my own home. But God saw fit. Hey! He blessed us with this beautiful home slash edifice. Now this bedroom is now turned into a living church. Woo! God knows exactly what he's doing, when he's doing it, and how to do it. He knew that I needed the space in this room that I could have virtual church with you all. But he already knew that.
I'm strong.
And you know what? I became stronger in this space.
I'm wise.
We're wiser.
We're better.
When God told me it was time to go and leave ministries, I'm telling y'all it hurt too. I can't even explain the hurt, but you know, but when I look back over it right now, Lord, I don't know how I made it. But you knew.
Because I had you to hold on to.
And now, Lord Jesus, I'm a better believer. Lord, I'm wiser. Lord, we're much better. We're much better in this space. Hey, just reflect. Some of you ain't got to think that far back. Some of you can just think as far back as last night to know that you made it. Tell somebody, I never would have made it. Some of you all know y'all been following this ministry a long time. Some of you all were back when all I had was a cell phone. Woo! Some of you know, remember when all we did when we had Facebook, like all I had was my cell phone, and I was preaching and teaching to you all from my cell phone. But the Bible tells us, don't despise the day of small beginnings. That he would, woo, that you will reap if you faint not. Now, God has expanded the ministry. We got more things. We got other things. Why? Not for us, but to compel them to come. That I be a living sacrifice. Hey, God is doing it. Y'all know how far God has taken us. And he's still carrying us. And I'm grateful. You should be grateful.
When I look back.
Look back. Of all.
I realized I made it because I had you to hold.
Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm going to say? Woo, I wouldn't have made it. Hallelujah. Oh.
I never could have made it
without you. Yeah, man. How many of you know that you never would have made it? Sing it with me. Some of you were ready to throw in the towel just this year, but you never would have made it without you. Hallelujah, Jesus, I thank you.
Sing it one more time.
Come on, let's finish this with me right here. Let's sing it this one more time. Come on, come on, sing it with me, Seth.
I never would have made it.
I never would have made it without you. How many of you know that you never would have made it without him? You know, these are not tears of sorrow, but these are tears of joy, because I just think back no longer than just last year. Last year, this time, we were building a home. We hope to get a home. But if you ever built a home and been through a home, you know, so many different things can happen. So many things can occur. And, you know, we were laboring with my mother-in-law. And you know, she was so kind to us in that space. And God has blessed us. And, you know, this last year, I had pneumonia. And I had the flu all at the same time. And, you know, things at work were just going crazy and all kinds of stuff. And, you know what? Even through all this space, you know what God did? I'm talking about just last year this time. Last November this time, the Ealers didn't have a home of their own. Now, people say, oh, you sold and you did this. And yes, we did. But still, I do not take anything for granted. Because the situation, the space I'm in right now, the way I'm able to broadcast and you know, basically have an in-home studio right here in my home, I didn't have the space. I didn't have the area and all this kind of stuff. And God knew this day was coming. And what he did, he provided before I even knew it. Amen? You know, sometimes you think you're getting things just for you. Sometimes you think, oh, well, I get this because I want this. But the Bible says it like this. So we talked about it last week. He says, Delight yourself in the Lord. Hashtag 265. Delight 265. That's one of our new slogans here at the Safe House Church. Delight's 265. Mm-hmm. 265. Why? Because there's 265 verses where they tell us to delight. Oh, come on, somebody. He said, delight yourself in the Lord. And what? He shall give you the desires of your heart. So the things that we desire this home. Amen. But I believe with everything in me that he gave us the desire to want this home. Because this was much more than I reasoned for, I was thinking about. But he put this on the house. He made sure that we saw this. And when I saw it, he quickened in my spirit and said, that's the place. And my wife would be the one to tell you that we turned down many, many places. Many places that she took. She got to the point she had given up. And when we saw this place, I said, baby, that's it. God had quickened in my spirit. I'm not being spooky, but I'm telling y'all the honest God truth. Y'all know I live by faith. And this was a faith walk. And now he's put us in this space that now we can have the space to be able to congregate and hear. Even on what, before the pandemic came, I told my church, this is, you know, the Safe House. And this is an extension of it. Amen. And on New Year's Eve, what do? We celebrated right here in this home. Amen. Because I'm grateful for what God has done. That it's not mine, but this is his place. And I just get to borrow it. Amen. I just get to be a caretaker of it. Just like this body does not belong to us. But we just, what? We rent this space. And it belongs to him. I'm telling you all, if you delight yourself in the Lord, that he will what? He will guide all your paths. He will lead you into all truth and all understanding. I told you all on last week that we were this Delight 265. I ordered the bands. The bands will be here in a couple of weeks. So make sure you reach out to us. I want to send you a band. Hashtag that says Safe House Church Delight 265. Why? Because we at the Safe House Church have determined that we're going to delight ourselves in the way of the Lord. And he's going to direct our paths. He didn't tell us to worry. He didn't tell us to go figure it out. He didn't tell me to go in there and try to see if I was going. He told me just to delight myself. And that he was going to take care of it. Go through 265 times he says delight in the Bible. I don't think that's by circumstance. I don't think that just happened to be there. But I believe that it's something that he strategically put there. Because all this time we've been doing, but what is delight? Just make myself satisfied with what he has. And he opens up more doors for you. Make yourself satisfied with what he wants to bring to you. And he's got your back. Amen. I'm just so grateful. Welcome to the Safe House Church. If this is your first time being with us, we're just a bunch of believers who just believe God. And we believe what he does and believe what he says he's going to do. Amen. We work out three pillars that we believe God has called us to be. We do discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. Discipleship meaning that what? We're going to teach you the word of God. We're going to share the word of God with you. And we're going to give you our best effort to be able to do that within the framework of content, context, and revelation. Content being what? We're going to give you the content. The content is the infallible word of God. If you don't believe that this is the word of God from cover to cover, then we don't start there. Because the Bible said without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's number one. Then number two, we work in context. So I try to develop the context so you can understand the situation, what was going on at that time, so that you could put yourself there. Amen. Because context matters. And then revelation. Revelation does not come from me, but it comes from the Lord. This is why it's important that you have the Holy Spirit. Because what? The Holy Spirit may be saying one thing to me and I give it to you all to inspire you to go read and open up your Bibles. But what happens in turn is that sometimes the Spirit, what your spirit will relate back to God and he'll give you what you need. This is why you can hear the word. Oh, come on, somebody. This is why you can hear a word and get a different revelation than somebody else. Why? Because the Spirit's interpreting according to your need. For what? I don't know what I need. But the Spirit of God that lives inside of me knows exactly what I need. So when he talks to God, he tells God in God's language. Oh, come on, somebody. That he tells him in God's language. And then God speaks back to him in God's language. And then what it comes in as revelation to me. Don't say that. Go here. Go there. Do this. Do that. If I listen, at the end of the day, I still have a choice. You and our brothers and sisters, that we have a choice. And I'm just so grateful to God in this space on this morning. He's just been so, so good to me. And you all know how good he's been to me. Amen. And I'm just grateful. And I know some of you probably saw the announcement. God has blessed your pastor. I'm telling you all, if you follow God, he'll open up doors for you. He said that what? That which was last shall be what? The first. That he said, well, I should make your enemies your footstool. You know, I'm here to tell you all and I share my story because, you know, I am a living sacrifice. I am transparent. And, you know, and I think about it, you know, as an undergraduate, I wanted to go to North Carolina State. North Carolina State University right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Amen. And what I find is that, you know, I was trying to go, and, you know, it didn't work out for me. But you know what? God made it fit that I went there as a graduate student. So much, in fact, that God has blessed me in that space. No, I was not the best student. No, I've never made all A's. But I stayed true to the space. And when God has destiny on your life, when God has a plan on your life and you trust him, I'm not saying I dotted every I because I certainly did. I'm not saying I crossed every T because I certainly didn't. I ain't gonna tell you that I've slipped and dived here, but the consistency. No, even the Bible says what? That David was a man of God's own heart. David wasn't, when we talked about it on last week, David wasn't a perfect man, but David knew where to go when he got in trouble. Amen. You gotta know where to go when you get yourself in a pickle. Not that you're trying to, but you gotta know. And in that space, God has blessed me. He's opened up doors for me. And I know you all are extremely proud of your pastor, those members of the Safe House Church, those who are watching, who are thinking about joining us. I'm telling you, join us. This is not a monument, but this is a movement, the movement of God. Amen. I don't have any power, but all my power is delegated authority from him on high. Amen. And you know, God opened up a space, you all, that even that which was last, but he said, shall be first. Look at this. Look at this. Look at God. Look at God. Your pastor, little country boy, God said, you know, the Bible says like that. He said that your blessing should do what? Shall run over and overtake you if you delight yourself in the way of the Lord. And God allowed them to, some colleagues of mine or from whoever, I don't even know. Well, I think I do now. They came and they invited me and asked me to be a commencement speaker. A commencement speaker. Yeah, this tongue talking, Bible thumping. Oh my God, come on somebody. I'm not chained in this space. This tongue talking, Bible thumping. Hey, we got to have some believers up there. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning? God is God. And he knows exactly what he's doing. So this tongue talking, Holy Ghost believing, fire baptized, baptized in Jesus' name, Jesus only boy. Yeah. That guy, he got invited to that space. So I'm here to tell you, you don't have to compromise who Christ has made you to be. If God has it for you, I'm here to tell you all today that it's for you. Things that I desired that I thought I wanted to do as a little boy, some of those desires he's took away because those were things that Peter wanted to do. But he has a plan for me. Do you not know the Bible says in Jeremiah that I know the plans that I have for you? For good success. I would have never thought about that. Never. You know, this year, God blessed me to win the teacher award for the whole state. Never on my radar. Having a PhD was never on my radar. Come on, somebody. I didn't mean to go here this morning. But these things were never on my radar. But what? God has more in store for you than you have for yourself. So what I'm trying to tell you today is stop trying to fix it. Because you're not going to fix it. You'll never be able to fix it. Because what you're going to do is you're going to limit yourself to your thinking. I limit myself to growing up in Henderson, Kitchell, North Carolina. I limit myself to, you know, growing up in a trailer. I limit myself to, oh, I just wanted to do this and do that. Why? Because I was not exposed to much more. I'm here to tell you today, brothers and sisters, God has more for you. If you'll walk that space, if you'll trust him. I'm not saying you got to be perfect. I know some of you looking for perfection. I'm telling you, quit it. You're not going to find it. You're not here, not any church. We got our issues too. But at the end of the day, I believe God and God who he is. Amen. And welcome to the Safe House Church. I'm Pastor Dr. Peter Ely here in Greensboro, where I like to call myself AKA Greensboro's favorite pastor. Amen. And I do believe that to be so. And here it is. I don't know what week we are in the pandemic, but nonetheless, God is making well in this space. Amen. We're reaching out. There are things. We on Periscope. We on Facebook. We on YouTube. We on Twitter. We on the website. And God is making room for our gifts. Amen. And I'm just so grateful to you all and the many of you all whose lives have touched us and impact, and those who financially support the Safe House. All these lights, cameras, mirrors, you know, you all don't see this stuff. You only get to see the end part. But all this stuff I got around here, this came as a direct result of the Safe House Church's giving, amen, and good stewardship. And God giving me some technical ingenuity and be able to figure out some things. And I'm just grateful to you all that we can be able to present not only just a good broadcast, a quality broadcast that, number one, that you can be proud of, and also be able to what? To share the word of God. So if you do me a favor real quick before I jump into what I believe God has given me to give for you on today, would you hit the share button? Would you not be ashamed? Hit the share button and say, hey, I watch the Safe House Church. That man over there in that church is a blessed people. that, you know what, he might be a little crazy sometimes. He might have a little crazy faith, but God opens up doors that they get through prayers. Amen. Hallelujah. For the Bible says like this, the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Amen. And I'm just so grateful to all the members of the Safe House Church. Your pastor loves you, and he appreciates you. And I look forward, like I said, I've ordered some things. We ordered some promotional items. We got some Safe House masks coming on. Oh, come on, somebody. You're going to be able to walk around in the mall or wherever you go, because we got to go out some. We understand you got things you got to do. But we want you to have that nice Safe House mask that says Safe House Mask 265, Delight 265. Because we've determined we're going to delight ourselves in the way of the Lord, and we're going to accept and appreciate all 265 scripture references where he told us to delight ourselves. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I hope all is well with you and yours, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Would you for a moment grab your Bibles, Yeah, this is a Bible-believing church. I'm a teacher by trade. God has given me an incredible gift to teach, so sometimes I try to teach a little bit. You already know I can't sing at all, but you know what? Long as God said, he said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So, you know, I think my noise is joyful and others in this space. So I'm telling you, don't be ashamed. If I'm willing to sing my rabbit voice all over the national airways, Lord knows where this is going, that you can certainly in your home when nobody else is looking, raise your hands and surrender to him and say, Lord, I'm grateful. Lord, I'm thankful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you turn to me? Matthew 19 and 21 is where we're going today. Matthew 19 and 21. And then you can put a finger on 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. Matthew, I'm going to go here. Matthew, amen. Matthew 19 and 20. I'm sorry. Matthew 19 and 20. And then we want to also go into there, into 2 Corinthians 12 and 7. Thank you all to all those for those congratulations. To God be the glory. I'm grateful. You know, I look throughout the Bible, and, you know, God always had a man in the space, you know. And I know one had, you know, had prophesied to me, and we often joked about it and stuff, like, you know, said, you're going to be Secretary of Education. I said, bro, bring it on. And I had a friend of mine ask me the other day, we were just joking about it, and, you know, they keep joking me about it. And I said, well, yeah, maybe I'll be the whole first Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized, tongue talking, just crazy as he want to be, Secretary of Education. Oh, I already know I qualify. You know, the last one we had, I know I qualify. I ain't trying to throw no shade, but it is what it is. Amen. You know, if God has us in that space, then, you know, they said, well, what would you do? I said, I'd be going tomorrow. Incredible situation, right? I would be going tomorrow. Not that I'm leaving the ministry, but, you know, that kind of position. You know, God opens up doors, and we can still do this. I come home every week. Amen. You know, until God say so. Amen. So if that's God's will, then it is what it is. If not, we'll go forward in Jesus' name. Thank you all for those who have been watching as we go forward. All right. So we're going to go. Matthew. All right. Split screen. Here we go. I'm so in love with this. When we actually get back in the building, I don't know what I'm going to do, because I don't know if I'm able to sit down and work my technology like this. But I like it in this space nonetheless. But God is going to bless me with somebody who's going to come. Amen. And we're going to teach them how to use this stuff. And they're going to be able to run this for the pastor. And pastor ain't going to have to sit in here and do triple duty. Amen. I ain't got to be the sound man. Hallelujah. I don't have to be, you know, the video man. Hallelujah. And, you know, and I'm grateful, because it could be another way. But he's good. And it says this. Matthew 19 and 20. We started 20. It says, the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. What I lack ye, what lack I yet? So here you have this young man, and he's explaining to God, okay, God, I've followed all your commandments. Oh, come on, somebody. How many of you been in the church all your life? I know I'm a church baby. Some people call you a pew baby or a drug baby, meaning they drug you to church, amen. Or you're a pew baby, meaning that you slept on the pews in the church, and I did all of that, amen. So I can count on reference this young man here that what I've kept all the commandments all of my life. And when he says he kept all of them, didn't mean that he's talking about perfection. It means that, you know, he's done what he's supposed to do. He's done these things, and he's saying, I've done all these things, God, but yet I've not got all of this. I've not got where I want to be. What's the deal? I'm missing something. And Jesus says this in verse 21. He says this. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect. Now, remember, he didn't ask them to be perfect, but the boys asked him, what am I missing from being part of perfection? This is his question, so Jesus answers him, okay? He says, now, if you want to be perfect, he's saying that you're good. But if you want to be perfect, I'm about to tell you, this is for all my people who want to be perfect out there. I'm striving towards perfection, but I ain't begging to be perfect. I'm striving towards perfection, but Peter, Eli, I can speak for me. I'm not begging to be perfect, all right? And he says this, if thou would be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So what was his instruction here? If you really want to reach perfection, let me tell you how do you do this. Sell everything you got and take the proceeds from selling everything you got, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And he goes on, he says this. But when the young man heard that saying, watch this. He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. All right, would you turn with me? You might want to keep that because I'm going to reference that back again. Come on, iPad. 2 Corinthians. We can go to 2 Corinthians. Shout out to Blue Letter Bible. I tell you all about this this website all the time. Absolutely free, incredible resource. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians, we in chapter 12 and verse 7. And he says this, and let I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffer me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Okay. So if I was in the traditional church, as they would say, if I were used for a subject this morning, amen. Are y'all still out there with me, or am I talking to myself? You are better, but not there yet. You are better, but not there yet. Reach over to yourself and tap yourself on the shoulder and say, you are better, but you're not there yet. As we read here this morning, you know, we've been talking about in this space on last week, was talking about getting better and how God has put us into these spaces and we've learned things and he's empowered us. But then sometimes we get to a point in time, brothers and sisters, that we believe sometimes we start to read our own paper clippings. We start to read our own news clippings that find that maybe I am as good as they say I am. Maybe I did this on my own. Maybe, you know what? I don't need God to get through this space. Maybe I'm stuck, you know, I'm stuck, but you know what? I got it. And every now and then, God has to bring something along to remind you and I that what? You're better, but you're not there yet. Here we had this young man who comes up to Jesus and he tells Jesus about all the things that he's been doing. Hey, God, I've been keeping this thing 100 in your space. Lord, I've been going to church. I've been tithing. You know, I've been keeping the laws and keeping your commandments. Lord, I don't see any sin. Lord, I'm not out here. I'm not sleeping around. I'm being kind to people. I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But what does God check him? God checks him on one thing that we all must check on, and that's our pride. We all have pride. We all have pride. I have an ego. You have an ego. There's some things that we won't tolerate. There's some things that we find ourselves. And these are things that people do not see. Some people would look at you and say, oh, things are great in this space. You know, some people would look at me and say, oh, from the outside here, you look like everything is going on. Look how dressed, nicely he's dressed. When the truth of the matter is, I may have on a pair of jogging pants on under this table. Because what? People only show you what they want you to see. People only give you what they want you to see in the space. We look at Facebook and we look at social media and all these things. We continually looking at other people's highlight reels and we comparing our lives to them. And we feel like at some point that we are failure because I'm looking at the things. But when the truth of the matter is that they haven't shown me their shortcomings. They haven't shown me when they fail. They haven't shown me when they missed the mark. They haven't shown me all these things. Why? Because these things are not sexy to the space. These things are not sexy to the lights. These things are not, when I mean sexy, it's not attractive. Amen. Are y'all with me? So this young man tells God, hey, I meant all this, but what Jesus does to him, he said, do you want to be perfect? And the young man reaches out like, yes, I've done all these things. Why do I not want to reach for perfection? And he tells him, sell your possessions. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I got a couple of things God has been able to bless me with. I know some of you have a couple of things that God has been able to bless you with. And he tells this boy to sell everything that he has. How many of you, if God walked up to you right now and said, look, for you to go, sell everything you got, could you do it? Would you do it? It's a test of faith. So one thing I want you to walk away with, number one point I want you to walk away with today, and I got three or four points that I want you to get. Number one is, there's always going to be a test of your faith. This whole pandemic is a test of our faith. It's been a test of our marriages. It's been a test of our relationships with our love. It's been a test of our jobs. And it's been a test of security. It's been a test of loyalty. You know, there's some churches that were open this week. They're not open no more. There's some places that God has us, that he asked us, what would you do? Somebody asked me, said, would I sell my car? Yeah. Boy, I ain't there yet. I'm working towards perfection. Remember, I told you I'm working for perfection. It's nothing wrong to laugh when this word, God's word is coming for. So he goes on it and he says, to sell your possession. And what does the young man do? The young man doesn't even think about it. He contemplates. He walks away in sorrow. Now, when we think about it, we dig a little deeper. What is God really saying to him in this space? And this is the part where it's a test of our faith, because what the young man is, he's what? He's used to seeing some things. He's used to being able to hold some things. He's used to some things being tangible to him in his space. So therefore, what does he do? He holds on to these things. When things go wrong, what do? We go on, we hold on to things that we know. When pressure gets tight, what do? We go back to things that we trust, things that we know. For many of us, and some of us, it's our possessions. Some of us, it's our home. Some of us, it may be a car. It may be a spouse. It may be children. Whatever the case may be, we all have our set default. Yours, I'm included in that space too. I have a default. You have a default. And what God is doing here, he said, if you want to meet perfection, I'm challenging you to change your default. Your default is when I ask for something that you don't have to get to the space that, Lord, I can't do that. See, this is a matter of trust here. Because the truth of the matter is, he tells him to sell all his possessions. But not once did he tell him that he was not maybe going to get some of these possessions back. If you look out throughout the Holy Scriptures, I do not see one instance. And if I'm wrong, somebody call me, inbox me, let me know. That when God allows something to be taken away from somebody in testing time, that he did not allow double and triple for their trouble. I'm reminded of Job. The Bible said that Job lost what? Everything that he had, even to the point that his wife told him to curse God and die. But we find out later at the end of the story, when God got through testing Job, that Job got what? Double for his trouble. Double. Job had more than he ever had, and God never, ever, ever, ever allowed him to be tested like that again. The truth of the matter is, we saw what Joseph went through. Joseph was in prison and Joseph was enslaved. But then when God brought him out of those tests, when Joseph went through what God needed him to go through to prepare him for the space that God was taking him to, we never, ever, ever again see Joseph there where he suffers. Read your Bible. I'm telling you. So as you see a roadmap there with God, that every time he allows you to go through something to prove his glory, to prove himself, that when you come on the other side of this, there will be double and triple and quadruple for your trouble. But the truth of the matter is, can we get to the space that we trust him? Because this young man here, he told him to trust him. He said, sell all you got. I believe one of the reasons that he tells him to sell all he has is because, and follow him, is that you cannot follow Christ if your mind is back home. Oh, come on, somebody. He can't follow Christ if he has like 10,000 possessions. He has to take care of the house. He has to take care of the car. He has to take care of the sheep and the camels and the maids and the people who work for him and all this kind of stuff. It's the cares of this world that his mind will be focusing on than what? The things of Christ. Because what? Perfection means no room for error. Right? And if you have one inkling of I need worldly possessions or I have things with the world that I'm tied up into, then what happens is you cannot be completely, completely consumed with the thought and the pattern of Christ. This is why you see Jesus in this space. You don't see Jesus with a whole bunch of possessions and all this stuff. Why? Because his life is 100% completely wholly dedicated to Christ. The truth of the matter is, yes, we're dedicated to Christ, but we're not dedicated to Christ on that level of perfection. I'm not, and you're not either. Where each and every single thing comes through Christ. So he tells him to sell the possessions and what? Follow him. Where if you follow in me, I'm going to teach you. We know Christ is what? A shepherd. He's the good shepherd. So what is he doing? When you spend time with him, he's able to impart to you that which you would need to be great in the space. You know, I think about when I was getting my doctorate degree, it was a matter of what? I knew things, but I had to spend time to see how to apply things to certain situations. We could talk about it all the time. We could talk about it in theory. We could talk about how it should have went and how it should go and how I should say things. But until I was able to actually see it in action, I didn't understand it. Here Jesus is telling this young man that, hey, if you want to see this in action, if you want to see this perform, you must be with me. Because if you have all these things, then you can't be with me because your mind is going to be on those things. Are y'all with me this morning? Your mind is going to be on those things and not where I am. So yes, you are better, but you're not there yet. How many know that you're better? You're better than you was last year this time. You're better than you was 5 years ago. But the truth of the matter, I'm better, but I'm not there yet. So what the young man does, the young man walks away with a countenance because he does not understand. He's not able to perceive that God is not the one to just take things from him, but he wants to give him everything. Because when you have God, you have everything. But you and I are still continually working in this space to say, Lord, I know that I have everything. Lord, I know I should delight myself in the way of the Lord. I know I should dedicate myself. I know I should pray without ceasing. I know I shouldn't be worried about tomorrow. But the truth of the matter is sometimes you're worried about tomorrow. Sometimes you're not dedicated in this space. Sometimes you miss the mark. Sometimes you forget to do some things. Sometimes you say some things you shouldn't have said. Sometimes you go some places you shouldn't have gone. Sometimes you find yourself doing things you shouldn't have done. Sometimes you be watching stuff on TV you shouldn't have watched. Yes. Because I live in that space too. But he was asking, what God can I do to be perfected? Mm-hmm. So faith is a test of his faith. So then we move on and we see here this young man walks away distraught and, you know, and we don't hear much more about him after that. Then God goes in and he tells them some other things. He goes on and what we find is now we move to another place where we reach Paul. And it's 2 Corinthians 12 where we were. And we find Paul in this space. What is Paul doing? Paul is having a conversation with God. And Paul is telling God about his troubles. And we know Paul to be a peculiar character because this Paul, before he became Paul, was known as Saul. And Saul was a persecutor of the Christians. When Christians saw Saul, they shook in their boots. He was like a bounty hunter of his day. He killed Christians. He prosecuted them for believing in God. And then he has his own experience where God knocks him off his beast on the road to Damascus and God fixes him up and he tells him that now he's what? Now he's a friend of God and God calls him friend. And now he's accepted into the space and now he's going into all the places that he's going to what? The Gentile people, those people known as dogs, those people like you and I that he goes to and he teaches and preaches the gospel to us. And even in all his preaching and teaching and all these things that he's doing, all this glory and the things that people are trying to restore upon him, that Paul struggles privately. Some of us struggle privately. There's things that I struggle with in private. I know there are things that you struggle with in private. There's things that I've prayed to God and said, God, if you would just get this off of me. God, if you would just take this away. God, if you would just remove that. Lord, Jesus, I'd be perfect. Lord, I'd never do this and I'd never do that. And I'd be like this and I'd be like that. And we all have those moments. Can you just say, yeah, I have one of those moments? Can you type in the chat, I have one of those moments. I know I have one of those moments. I have those moments when it seemed like if you just took care of this one thing, I'd be good. If you took care of this one thing, I would be straight. You wouldn't be able to tell me nothing. And that's exactly the point. He wouldn't be able to tell you anything. This is why when we walk in perfection with Christ, the perfection is do what? It removes those things from us. Because the truth of the matter is those things live down where? What others don't see. Paul talks about this thorn that was in his flesh. And the truth of the matter is Paul knew the thorn was there. But the rest of us, we didn't. And we would not have known if Paul didn't tell us. We would not have known about your secret sin if you did not tell us. We would not know about your struggles with insecurity if you did not tell us. We would not know about your struggles with homosexuality if you did not tell us. We would not know about your struggles with infidelity if you did not tell us. We would not know about your struggles with drunkenness if you did not tell us. We would not know about your struggles, you know, and your infirmities and your struggles with drugs if you did not tell us. You know, you have people who are functioning drug addicts. We have people who are functioning, you know, adulterers. We have people who are functioning homosexuals that hide themselves in the space, yet they struggle privately. We have people who struggle with self-esteem privately. We have people who struggle with imposter syndrome. Do I belong in this space? Privately. And these are all things that Paul is struggling with privately. He's telling God, Lord, I'm going out here and I'm preaching and I'm teaching and I'm doing all these things for you. But Lord, can't you just remove this one thing from me? Can't you take this one thing from me so that I can go before your people and feel perfect? The truth of the matter is, brothers and sisters, every time I stand here before you, I feel unworthy. Every time I stand here before you, I'm like, Lord, I just thought that yesterday. How can I go out here and preach to thousands? Is that hypocritical, Lord? Lord, I struggle with this. Lord, me and my wife just got through arguing, and now I come out here and, Lord, you want me to teach Bible class? Lord, I just got through maybe hollering at my kids. I just got through, you know, over at the Burger King drive through and wanted about to cuss somebody out because they messed up my order and took my money and all this stuff. These are my frustrations. I can talk about me. I can't talk about you. But you know yours. Because I told y'all I'm transparent in this. I struggle too. What about those? Yet he still calls me out here and says, you know what? When my anointing comes upon you, you're going to speak what I tell you to speak. You're going to say what I tell you to say. And people are going to be delivered. And I'm like, Lord, how can you use somebody like me? Lord, how can you use me? Lord, I've done this. I've done that. And I'm here. And see, this is what the enemy wants to tell you and I today, that we can't be used of God because you've done this and you've done that. And the truth of the matter is that it's God's grace. Type in grace. How many of you know it's his grace? For Paul said here that what? That God tells him, my grace is sufficient. So point number two today, like I said, not only faith, point number two today I want you to understand is that it's your misinterpretation of grace. What is grace? Grace is his mercy when you're trying to do good. Oh, come on, somebody. Grace is his mercy when you are trying to do good. You know, the Bible says like this, said, even when I would do good, evil is ever present. How many of you know that you went in there with that space to say, I'm going to do good. I'm going to act right today. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to love my mother-in-law. I'm going to love my father-in-law. I'm going to like my sister-in-law. Oh, come on, somebody. I know holidays coming. It's coming. I'm going to love my little brother, even though he stole from me. I'm going to love my sister, even though she out here and she trapping. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm talking about you. I'm in your house. I'm on your street. And you're in that space. And then you know what? The holiday don't end the way you have. People say, I thought you were sane. As the new song said, try Jesus, don't try me. Because I likes to fight, right? Come on, somebody, it's good to have fun. But, and it's the truth of the matter. Some of you are going to be at the holidays, and some of these things are going to happen. You're going to go with the intention in the mind that you're going to do these things. And somebody's going to say something that's going to push your button. And your button is going to be pushed. And some of you are going to be great. And then some of you are going to fail. But it does not stop you from working to perfection in this space. Because God didn't call us to, he didn't call us to that. He said what? Walk there. It's a day-by-day journey, brothers and sisters. I didn't get to be Peter Ely overnight. Yes, I was named that, but I developed into this every single day. You develop into what God has called you to be every single day. It's a daily walk. It's a daily talk. It's a constant buffering. It's a constant buffering. What is a buffering? If you know anything about cars, if you paint your car, buffering. You know, when I go out and I buffer my cars, what I'm doing is I'm so very, very lightly scratching the top of the surface. And what you do when you're scratching the top of the surface, what it does is it actually mends the paint and the clear coat and stuff together, which reveals this shine. So you get these micro scratches that are invisible to the naked eye. The truth of the matter is if you took a microscope and you went really, 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 really deep in, you'll see all the scratches and grooves in your paint. But when you step back and you look at it, all you see is brilliant shine. Let me tell you today, brothers and sisters, God has been buffering you. He's been scratching your paint, and you feel it. You feel it. But what others are starting to see is that brilliant shine, woo, from afar. It's that brilliant shine that he's revealing to them. You don't see it because all you see is the thorns in your flesh. All you feel is the scratching. You feel the buffering that he's doing, the circle of motion that he's making. But in all that circle of motion and all that pressure and all that strife and all those things, what he's doing is he's slowly perfecting you. He's bringing you more into what he wants you to be. He's bringing you further along down the street. He's bringing you to the point that when others see you, I know you don't see yourself the way others see you. I don't see myself the way others see me. Oh, they'll go and tell you, oh, you did this. You're great. You're this. You're that. And you're sitting there thinking, if you only knew. If you only knew I wanted to go out back and put a shotgun in my mouth and blow my brains out. If you only knew that I wanted to go around the corner and I wanted to do this and I wanted to throw in the towel and I wanted to give up. If you only knew. This is what these people are thinking. Why? Because we see some of them actually act out on this stuff. This is why we hear millionaires blowing their brains out. We hear people who seem like they got everything together doing things to themselves. We see people overdosing on drugs. Why? Because they still looking and they chasing perfection when perfection has come through Christ. And he tells us that what? When I am weak, he is strong. Why? Because I not rely on me. It's his grace that I rely on. And because I rely on his grace when I'm weak in my infirmities, as Paul said, then I'm what? I am strong. I am strong. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today, and I want to be a witness that when you're weak, when you've done all you can do, when you can't go any further, he said what? Rely on him. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. For when I am weak, then what? I am strong. For what? Yet of no glory would I glorify for myself. It's nothing that I've done. But it was what? His grace. When I should have been cut off, it was his grace. When I should have been done, it was his grace. When I should have been fired, it was his grace. And grace is simply what? God's forgiveness as you in the space where you work to do the right thing. Now, there's some of you who may not just even, you don't do the right thing. You don't care. That's different. There's no grace even upon that. But when you're working towards that thing, Lord, I need your grace. Lord, I need your love. Lord, I need your power in this time. You know, there have been times even here recently, you know, as I talk with my wife and, you know, and we have a conversation, we talk about things, and sometimes, you know, there are things that I've thought about and things that I've done and things I've said and things I probably shouldn't have said. And but yet, God's grace and his mercy. There were times on particular jobs I worked, I probably should have been fired. Some things I did. But I was trying to do the right thing. I messed it up trying to do the right thing. So God has this thing called grace. So brothers and sisters, your perfection, that's a self-inflicted burden. He's not asked for us for perfection, but he's told us to what? Walk in faith, for it's going to be our faith that's going to make us whole. It's going to be our faith, and that we don't have what a misinterpretation of his grace. But his grace is sufficient. So the last part I want to leave you with today, and I'm going to be done, is I want to talk to you about the scar. Because the truth of the matter is you have a scar. And that scar that you carry with you, you ask God, Lord, remove this. It's a reminder to you to be humble as he carries you. I'm reminded, you know, I look, you know, as a child, I had, you know, certain scars on my body that I made. And I don't know about you, but I remember as a child, my sister and I, and she's on the call, so she's probably going to start laughing. We were fighting one time over the TV. And, you know, in my house, they were big on wrestling. I could not stand wrestling. Real wrestling, I mean, that's one thing. But that WWE stuff, y'all could have had that, right? And it was five of us. And since it's being five of us, you know, and then one TV, and I think my parents were away. And my sister on Saturdays, you know, her job was to iron all these clothes, right? And she would be ironing the clothes. And she'd be ironing the clothes. And I can't remember how it even got to the point. But anyway, there was a ensuing fight over the TV. And like sibling rivalry would have it. We got into a little bit of a fist altercation, I would say. And I went to punch her with this fist, and that iron that she had went to proceed under my left arm, right below my sweat pit here, y'all see. And I was burned with the iron. I know y'all telling me, oh my God, y'all Ely kids are crazy. Yeah, it was a crazy time in Ely house, but I survived. And from that point on, I had this nice little iron print burn on my side. Did I have the hole? I know some of you asked, do you have the holes? Yep, I had the little iron holes, the whole nine. Yeah, you can laugh. It's funny now. It won't be. And I just remember my flesh being burned. And I remember hollering in this space. So now, you know, if you already have sweat and something dripping under your arm, and now you got this nice little burn up under your arm. I have an iron print burn up under my arm. Now, of course, my parents got on my door. My sister about that, and we talk about it, and we laugh at it now. But the truth of the matter is, I suffered with that scar for a long time. That scar now, I think, happened when maybe we was 12, 13 years old, and now as a man, oh man, I'll be 43 in about 2 weeks. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And as a man now, who sits before you today, I look at that scar. And that scar is still to be what? A reminder of that fight. It's a reminder of that space. I, even to today, I can still remember the pain that was inflicted upon my body when she did that. But as I look now, that scar, which seemed at the time went the length of my torso here, as I look now, that scar is about maybe that big now. The scar is still there. The scar still serves as a reminder to me of the time I did something. I shouldn't have done. And my sister made me pay for it. She extrapolated her own justice. Yeah, that was Phoebe for those who want to know. All right. But what has happened over time, I haven't completely forgot, but there's a scar there to remind me of the incident. And where I was, and what happened, why it happened, and why I didn't ever want to do that again. Brothers and sisters, some of you are carrying some scars. The scars, when they first happen, they're big. They're painful. They hurt. But as the, you know, we often say, time heals all wounds. And they do. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes time shrinks the wounds too. But some of us have scars that we're going to carry the rest of our life. Whether it was a bad financial decision, whether it was a bad marriage decision, whether it was a decision that you got caught up in the moment that you did or said something you regretted, whether you find yourself in a place that you can't even recall because it was just that bad. But I'm here to tell you today that God's grace is sufficient. Now, I know you want him to remove it from your memory and remove it from your bank, but I'm here to tell you today that no, it's not going to go anywhere because it's there to remind you of this time, of where you were, what you were doing, and why it happened. So, yes, these things are always going to be here, and it doesn't mean that you're not gotten better. You are better, but you're not there yet. You are better, but you're not there yet. You are better. Much better than you were before, but you are not there yet. So remember today, the stories I gave you from the Bible on today. Number one, the rich boy. The man said, sell everything you have, follow Jesus. And he said, oh, can't do that. He's asking for something that God is willing to give him, but he's not willing to take the steps forward. So it's always a trial of your faith. Hold on to your faith. The second thing here, that God's grace is sufficient. That what he's not asked us for perfection, but he's asked us to work towards perfection. So what? He's removing these things. He told us what? Delight thyself in the way of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Delight thyself, 265. Delight 265. And then lastly, he tells us what? That these scars will remain. You've healed from them. You are better. But don't think the scars don't go away. You're going to always remember. You're going to always know. But it's also going to be a reminder to you that you are better. God bless you all. Love you all. I hope that this blessed message has been a tremendous blessing to you and found you where you are on today. If at this particular point in time, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you as we transition here to the offering part of our service. Amen. I hope that, you know, this has been a blessing to you, that you'll be a financial blessing to the Safe House Church. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. We just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for waking us up this morning, starting us in our right mind, Lord. We thank you for the activity of our lambs. Lord, I thank you for this space on today, Lord Jesus, that someone may have heard, Lord Jesus, that, Lord, they've been thinking, Lord, I just want to give up and I want to throw in the towel, Lord Jesus. But Lord Jesus, that there's more in them, oh God, Lord Jesus, that there's better to come, Lord God, that they're better today than they were on yesterday. They're better, Lord Jesus, this week than they were on last week. That they're better each and every moment, oh God, even though we have our shortcomings, we have things that we fall, we have places that we missed, oh God, and we see the scars, oh God. But the truth of the matter, the scars is a remembrance to us, Lord Jesus, of the space and the time of where we were. And Lord, we thank you, Lord. We ask that you lift the burdens, Lord Jesus. Those who are heavy burden, oh God, remove them right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you, Lord Jesus. And we praise your name, Lord. We ask you to do each and every thing that we ask you to do, Lord. Touch them, Lord, like only you can. We ask you to do this right now in the name of Jesus. For we know this one thing, we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you be a blessing to the Safe House Church this morning? Everything that goes to the Safe House Church goes right back into this ministry here. Amen. That we bless God in tithe and offering. If this is your first time, we use the cash app, Safe House Church GSO. You'll see the little purple SH there in the corner. Amen. Or you can go paypal.me/ministryaid, and you can secure some things there. I'm just so grateful. If you enjoyed this morning's service, could you just put in the text and say, Pastor, I've got something today that you want. I would just like to know that God has been, you know, that this found you where you were. Amen. For God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so grateful that God saw the best in me. Hallelujah. 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 In closing, amen, this morning, I just want to say I'm grateful to each and every one of you for coming to the Safe House Ministry. You could have chosen to be anywhere else this morning, but you chose to be here with us. And for that, we're grateful. We look forward when we get back into the building that we are located at 3113 Cedar Park Road in the beautiful city of Greensboro. And we'll be getting with you more information when that time comes. But until that time comes, you can find us here every single Wednesday night. Amen. We're here on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. The same way you found us today, you will find us on Wednesday nights. Please come into there. And we do Bible class. Right now, we're in the book of Ephesians. And we're going now to chapter 3. And we go verse by verse and line by line. Amen. So that we can teach God's people how to read his word so that you can be able to study on your own. That's at 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. Then here on Sunday mornings, we start promptly at 9 a.m. Amen. But God is good and he's worthy to be praised. God bless you all. I love you all. You all take care and have a wonderful, wonderful day. Spend time with your families. Know this one thing and know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you. Bless him. Delight in him. Delight 265. Take care.